This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, guys, this is the first episode. You know, What the Puck has been around for about 5 years now. We're 200 episodes in, and we have covered regular season hockey, playoff hockey. We have covered the two Olympics. We've covered Worlds. We have covered lockouts, KHL hockey, AHL hockey. Well, this is the first episode in What the Puck history where we will be covering the Capitals in the Eastern Conference Finals. Man, that feels good to say. I know. Joining me as always, Coach Dan. And I usually say, Coach Dan, what's up? How you doing? If you don't say I'm ecstatic, I'm so incredibly happy, podcast over. What's going on, Coach Dan? How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm actually recovering from being sick. But aside from that, my Sunday night was a bit rough. Didn't go to work on Monday. Still wasn't feeling great. Was feeling pretty decent Monday night. And then when they won the game, I certainly was feeling much, much better.
Yeah. So, of course, we're going to cover the whole series against the Penguins. But why don't we just kind of go over where we were and what we were doing when the Capitals finally vanquished the Penguins. Why don't you go first? So where were you? Who were you watching it with? What was going on for you when the Capitals beat the Penguins? What are you going to tell your grandkids? What's the story you're going to tell your grandkids? Well, I was there when the Caps finally beat the Penguins. What's your story?
Not to be like the Debbie Downer of this weird thing we're doing, but we're only halfway there, buddy.
We're going to cover that, but come on.
We moved on to the next round. Like, people were like, yeah, we did it. I'm like, yeah, we're halfway there. Like, everything that the Caps have been through so far is only half of the pain.
And right? that's like, why the Stanley Cup.
I won't spoil the movie, but Infinity War, at the end of it, you're like, you know, everything that happens. But then you're like, there's another, like, 2.5-hour movie I'm going to have to watch a year from now. So we're only halfway there. But to play along with your narrative,
jerk.
I was, you know, watching in my living room and I was watching the game, and the entire time leading up to that day, you're like, all right, Backstrom's going to play. He's probably not going to play very well, but he's going to play and it's going to be fine. And then about, I don't know, 45 minutes, half hour maybe before the game or something, I found out, you know, I saw the little thing saying he's not going to play. And I was like, well, game 7, here we go. Wednesday night, anything can happen. Like, there's no way. No Backstrom, no Wilson, no Burakovsky. So that's 3 of your top 6 guys. And then they're going to have 5 freaking rookies, 2 of them making their NHL playoff debut in that game. That's good. Can you hear the dog over here sneezing?
A little bit, but it's not bothersome.
He sneezed like 4 times. Anyways, having their debut, it was a lineup that you went and you saw the lineup come out and you're like, nope. Like, this is not a team I think that's going to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals tonight. But with the game plan, and I've been a bit hard on Barry Trotz, but with the game plan that he had tonight, what was it, Monday night, it worked out perfectly. They slowed the game down. They didn't let the Penguins get high-flying because the Capitals were not going to be able to match up to that with the lineup they had. They kept it a bit slow. They stuck it up in the neutral zone. They didn't let them get through. They made it a bit difficult. They kept them. They got, you know, kind of a fluke goal. But, you know, they had to get a screen goal. It was a nice shot from, was it Letang, to get in the net. But I think the Capitals got the Penguins to play their game in that particular game, play the way they wanted them to play, and they were able to come out ahead on a fantastic play. And it starts and ends with Kuznetsov. Mm-hmm. He knocks the puck off of Crosby's stick. He knocks it back. Caps take over. Ovechkin's bringing it up. Kuznetsov avoids the puck on Ovechkin's stick so as to not, you know, lose the control of the puck and the play. Takes it up ice with 2 guys around him, is able to get past them, and is able to get past Murray, put the puck past Murray and end it It was insane. And it was a situation where you're like, not only are they not going to be able to win this game, but to be able to not only win it, but play as well as they did was completely unexpected.
There's something special about this team. You know, it was we talked about it all year, the fact that on paper this should not be a Stanley Cup champion team. This should not even be a playoff team.
Maybe make the playoffs, but we didn't think they're going to win the division, let alone this is the team that makes the Eastern Conference Finals.
But this team is full of confidence, and I love that. But before we really get into it, I want to tell you where I was for this game. So everybody knows, not a real shocker, I'm a big wrestling fan. And I know, right? My favorite podcast out there that is not What the Puck or The Call is Something to Wrestle With. And it's Bruce Pritchard, who was Vince McMahon's right-hand man from like 87 to 2008. And he tells stories of what it was like to travel up and down the road, book these different towns, how to produce TV, all kinds of stuff I'm interested in. While him and his co-host Conrad Thompson were in town in Baltimore hosting a live podcast at Jimmy's Seafood. So Jimmy's Seafood is always a fun place to go. If you're ever in the Baltimore area, Dan, you got to actually come up here so I can take you to
Where is it?
It's all, off of like Eastern Avenue, east side of Baltimore. Not far, you don't know, but
is it around the harbor in Camden Yards?
It's not far away from there. It's not. It's an easy drive. It's closer to Canton, but again, you don't know. But anyway, so I was seeing their live podcast, and they did that show until 8 o'clock. And on Saturday, after the Caps had won, I tweeted to Jimmy's and just said, "Hey guys, I'm coming to the Pritchard show on Monday. I'm gonna need at least like one TV on the Caps game." And there were a couple other Caps fans at the event, but the big thing was after the live podcast, you go to the bar and the hosts actually watch Monday Night Raw with you at the bar. So I'm sitting there with my buddy and we're watching a little bit of wrestling, and one of the waiters comes up and goes, "Hey, you asked to have the Caps game on one of these TVs, didn't you?" And I'm like, "Yes." And he goes, "All right, what TV works out best for you?" And I was like, "How about that one right over there?" He's like, "All right, I'll see what I can do." And within 10 minutes, I had the Caps game on. The owner of Jimmy's came over, shook my hand, and goes, "Hey, man, I hope we got you taken care of. Caps game's on right there." And
it took him 10 minutes to turn a TV on to...
No, well, like, there's a bunch of TVs. They're all attached to, like, the same network. So, like, when you change one, you change them all. So he had to figure out a way to change one TV and not change everything else and not change off what everyone else was watching.
That was very nice of him.
Yeah, so Jimmy's always treats you right, so go definitely check out Jimmy's Seafood. But here was the cool thing. So it goes to overtime, and there's maybe like 10 or 12 people left at the bar, and the podcast hosts and stuff are everything there. They're all watching wrestling. I'm watching the Caps game. And I see Kuznetsov, you know, do his moves. He's up the ice. He's on a breakaway. And then I can't tell where the puck is because, you know, I'm sitting a little far away from the TV. And then I see the graphic change up in the upper left-hand corner, and it just says goal. I jump out of my chair, and I just scream, "Yes! Yes, they finally did it!"
Everyone in the bar is like, "Get him out!"
Yeah, everyone's like, "What just happened? What's going on?" And I'm like, "The Caps, they did it! They finally did it!" And, like, people start applauding at everything, and kind of went back to wrestling after that. But here I am, like, one of the only guys watching the game and just going absolutely ballistic because of the Caps winning and winning the series and beating the Penguins. Man, what a feeling that was. I know you're saying, "Oh, you're only halfway there, Debbie Downer."
Debbie Downer, realistic. Yes, it was great to win. And it took a second to realize it went in because I actually recorded it. My sister's over in Europe and she was asleep at that point. So I went back, rewound it, and took a video later on because I actually, all right. So because of the game, I'm totally jumping off different points here. Because the game went late into overtime, it actually went into another recording because it went into another show on Verizon, right? So I was able to rewind, and what I realized was I actually recorded it. So I have the end of the third period and that part of overtime. So I actually have the winning goal for the Caps recorded on my TV. But I went and I watched it and I recorded it and sent it to my sister in Europe. So when she woke up the next day in London, that she could see that the Caps had moved on to the next round. But I'm sitting there in the living room and I'm watching it, and you Emmerich takes a moment before he says that he scored. So you see Kuznetsov go up, and you don't really expect it because it's overtime. The Caps weren't really playing a huge offensive game. They were taking their opportunities. They were cycling the puck, but they weren't really getting as many opportunities as they normally would get because they weren't quite as high-flying as you see from time to time. But then to see Kuznetsov go, and you're like, all right, well, he might, you know, kind of get through these guys, take a decent shot. And then he gets behind Letang, and you're like, whoa, he might actually pull this off. And then he actually goes and shoots it, but I couldn't see if the puck went in. And you see Kuznetsov kind of skate away, but you can hear Ovechkin start screaming or yelling. And then you hear Emmerich say, score. And you're like, what? And I jumped up off the couch and was like, whoa, my God. I can't believe it. Like, my wife was going crazy. She was super excited. It was nuts. I couldn't believe they actually pulled it off. I had to go back and watch it like 8 million times. And then my wife yelled at me because she wanted to watch them shake hands afterwards. And I kept rewinding it. She's like, I want to watch it. And I was like, too bad. I want to watch them score again.
I couldn't stop smiling. I was so incredibly happy. This was – I mean – I know you're saying you're being realistic, but this is a huge...
No, it's great, but it's not the end game.
I know, but it's a huge thing. The giant monkey is off their back, finally beating the Penguins. I mean, this is just me as the Caps fan, not the hockey podcaster, but I got to tell you how much I love the fact that Sidney Crosby was the one that gave up that puck.
I didn't even notice that. I have to give credit to Grant Paulson from... 106.7 The Fan. He made the comment on Twitter, and I was like, huh. So I went and I rewound it again, and I was watching it, and I turned to my wife, and I was like, hey, look who turned over the puck. And she goes, I can't tell. And I was like, yeah, all right, the image isn't that great. But it's number 87. And, you know, he's a fantastic player, and I'm sure he's a nice person. But for him to be the one that turned it over is one of the things where you're just like, all right, there's a nice little icing on the cake. And the fact that they got past Letang, who I feel like was playing hurt a lot of the time, but he's also, for everything that, you know, Penguins fans want to say about Caps players, Letang's a bit of a douche. A
little bit.
Like, was it after one of Ovechkin's goals? And it might have been, I can't remember what game it was, but he just swung his stick around and almost tripped him. And there's like a bunch of little things that he's done. And then the Penguins fans want to go and want to complain about Oshie going after someone. Was it Letang? Yeah, it was like going after Letang at the end of one of the games. I want to say game four, but
was it four? It was four.
No, it was four because the one the Penguins won.
Yeah,
but it's Letang has done some douchey stuff too. Not Brad Marchand levels of douche, and we'll talk about that later. But he's done some. He did some sketchy things where, you know, it's one thing you're trying to get under an opponent's skin, but it's never if you're trying to like trip somebody or potentially hurt them with a slash.
So now that we've kind of talked about our reaction to Kuznetsov's goal finally beating the Penguins, can I just tell you how happy I was for Ovechkin?
Do you see the look on his face?
That look when he has his arms stretched out to the heavens and he just takes that deep breath, you know, in his head, he's just going, finally, I did it. Or we did it. He didn't, you know, at the beginning of the show, you kind of heard that song I put together, and all of the players were always we, the group, the team, the team, the team, the team. So I'm sure Ovi was like, we did it. We finally did it. God, this feels good. Just it looks like a giant weight has been lifted off of his shoulders. And I think, I mean, we're going to talk about Tampa Bay in a little bit, but I actually think this is huge for Ovechkin because now he doesn't have that dark cloud kind of looming over his head that he's never gotten out of the second round.
No, now the narrative is going to be if they don't get out of this one, he's never made it past the Eastern Conference Finals.
Right. But how good was that? I mean, you got to know Ovi has to be like over the moon about that happening.
Oh, I'm sure all of them are pretty happy. I think, especially someone like TJ Oshie, who was pretty livid at the fact that Tom Wilson got suspended. You know, he came out and had that picture of Free Willy and the whole thing and trying to get him out. And he was pretty happy that the Caps were able to win. And now they got Wilson back, and hopefully they get Backstrom back. And Burakovsky's now day-to-day. You know, the team's starting to get healthy, and we'll see what they can do.
Absolutely. So, overall, the Caps up against
they the played Penguins. Incredibly well, and credit to Barry Trotz, who we've had questions about all season. He was able to not outperform Mike Sullivan, but he was able to change up his game plan, change up his style, considering the lineup that he had, and it worked.
Now, we have been hard on him. We know our buddy Ryan Drury has been hard on Barry Trotz this season and saying that he's done after this year is over. But let me ask you, what do you think the future holds for Barry Trotz? Because, you know, we talked about it last week, that clip of him telling Tortorella, I'm gone, I'm out of here, whatever. If it's not a personal decision of his, just going, I'm ready to retire, I've been on the road long enough, I'm ready to go home. If he does want to stick around, does he get a new contract? Because now he has done what no other coach has been able to do in the Ovi era.
That's a tough question. I mean, Eastern Conference Finals, is that going to be enough? I think that's the question. Is the Eastern Conference Finals enough to earn yourself a new contract? Yes, it's further than they've gotten before, and the impressive part is this is probably the worst roster he's had to use.
That's insane to think about, too, yeah.
On paper, mind you. This is the worst roster that he's had on paper. So, I don't know. I was very much in the camp of Trotz is gone. You know, I've said more than once that I want Daryl Sador. Daryl Sutter. Jesus, I did that the other day, too. And, you know, I feel like, I don't know. We'll see how they perform. If they perform poorly and get swept by Tampa, I'm still in the Trotz out category. But if they put up a good effort, or if they actually get past this, if they make it to the Stanley Cup final, whether they win or lose, I think Trotz deserves to stay.
You know, if we're handing out congratulations as well, since we gave one out to Ovi and Barry Trotz, I got to give one out to my boy Nathan Walker. First Australian to play in the NHL playoffs. First guy to get a point in the AHL playoff in his first playoff game. But what a year it's been for him. Starting the year off with the Capitals, getting waived, going to Edmonton for a couple days. Getting waived again.
Sorry, not stealing your line. But I had to...
And then landing in Hershey once again, and then to come up to the Capitals in the playoffs,
and then play,
and then actually get to play.
Well, you gotta recall, everyone's probably like, "Yeah, he's gonna hang out."
Yeah, you know, he's gonna make some easy money, just chill out, do some practice.
One of the black aces, as they say.
Right, but yeah, I gotta give it up, Nathan Walker. Congratulations to him.
He played exceptionally. Did you see Kuznetsov's? We can't say it because this is a family show. You see Kuznetsov's nickname for him?
Yes. let's just say it involves some mother loving.
Yeah, he's a fan of him. Let me tell you that. No, I thought it was great. I think he came in, he played exceptionally well. He was able to get the assist on Chiasson's goal. Who another guy that I haven't really been a huge fan of. He stepped up and played well and got that goal. Everybody definitely saw that game. Being game six as an opportunity to do something. And I felt like the team overall played quite well.
I like Chiasson a lot. He's a guy I hope potentially.
Yeah, you and I don't agree on that one.
Yeah, hopefully I think he would be a nice guy to have him re-signed for the right amount of money. He's a BU guy, so I like BU players. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But, man, Chiasson's really stepping up as well. I'm shocked.
The guy we got to talk about stepping up is Lars Eller.
Lars Eller had a great game in game six.
He had stepped up. To step into that second line center spot, he gelled very well. I thought he's been playing out of his mind. I'm a big fan of Lars Eller right now. That dude is playing exceptionally well.
And I haven't been in the past, but this playoff season, Lars Eller has been the real deal. He has been legit. I have nothing bad to say about Lars Eller right now.
He played exceptionally well in game six. I thought his ability to combine with Vrana and Oshie, I thought, was exceptionally well, especially considering the fact that he hadn't played with those guys. Vrana was playing on the fourth line or the first line, and Eller was playing on the third line. So that was brand new line mates to some extent. And to have them playing together and play as well as they did, yes, they didn't get anything on the score sheet, but they still were playing extremely well.
Now, I don't want to jump forward here, but since we're bringing it up, I'll just ask now. When Backstrom does come back, it looks like he's day-to-day, so he may not play in game one. We don't know right now. But let's just say, hypothetically, Nick Backstrom comes back. Where do you put him? Because if the
second line center spot.
But if the Eller Oshie Vrana line works so well.
Second line center spot.
Why mess with that?
Because he can play well on the third line, too.
But is he going to gel as well on the third line with who?
Dude, it's Nick Backstrom. He's playing on the second line. Nick Backstrom, he can play on the first line. You know?
What do you?
I think it's going to be Kuznetsov, Backstrom, Eller. I think. Well, here's the question: who sits with Backstrom and Wilson coming back?
Well, the obvious is Nathan Walker and Travis Boyd.
Yeah, that's too bad because I kind of liked what I saw from both those guys.
I know
Walker. Walker, I thought, had more of an impact to some extent than Boyd. I think he was third line center. I thought Boyd played really well as well. I think both – that was not real great phrasing. I thought everybody played well that in the game, but the reality is you can only dress so many guys. So, I would agree that I think Walker and Boyd are out. I think Wilson goes back on the first line. I think Backstrom's back on the second line. And I think we see a little bit more – of a standard lines that we're accustomed to seeing moving forward.
All right. So I do want to stick a little bit longer with this Penguins series, but Braden Holtby, that dude has been legit. Without Braden Holtby, I have a feeling the Caps would have lost game 5.
Without Braden Holtby, they don't get out of the Columbus round.
That's true as well. Braden Holtby has been absolutely fantastic. This is the Holtby of old. You know what the narrative is for this Capitals team is underdog stories. Because not once in his career has Ovechkin been considered an underdog. Look at they've won President's Trophies. They've won divisions before. They've stacked up the deck. Every single time the Caps go into a series, normally they would be the favorite to win. There were times it was the year Philadelphia went to the Stanley Cup Finals and they got the trophy for winning the Eastern Conference, and the Capitals' name was already engraved on the trophy because they thought the Caps were just a shoo-in. Then they got Halak'd in the first round. So this is interesting because look at what's going on. So Braden Holtby, he sits, he's the backup to start against Columbus. He comes out firing on all cylinders. Man, what a crazy
He said, bench me? I think not, sir.
Exactly. He wants that competition, and he excels at that. During the Penguins
Let's
series,
bench this.
Wilson is out for 3 games. Burakovsky's out. Nick Backstrom's out. And what happens to this team? Unlike years in the past where they just go, well, our top guys are gone. We're done. No, these guys, they fought back. They said, no, we can get it done. We can get it done without those guys. We're good.
They were able to shut down a team with a very good offense. They were able to shut them down defensively and sort of grind out a 2-1 win. And something you don't usually see from this team.
And then Ovechkin, after the game, I think it was an interview with Pierre.
You got to imagine, he's like, aw.
He's like, so, Ovi, you were up against Sidney Crosby. How did that feel? But anyway, so Ovi says something along the lines of to Pierre, look, no one believed in us this year. No one said we were going to do well. And here we are. We beat the Stanley Cup champions. Not just any team. They beat the two-time Stanley Cup champions. Two-time Stanley Cup champions in a row. The Caps took that team out. Something that Tampa Bay did not get to do last year. Just pointing that out.
Well, it's a different Pittsburgh team this year than last year, and not just because obviously because they got knocked out. They literally have some different players.
Sure, but I'm just saying. So look, Ovi's an underdog. Holtby was considered an underdog. This entire team was considered an underdog, and now they're excelling. I think that may be what's key, at least mentally, for this Caps team. That look, you're not going to take us seriously. Look, we're down 3 guys. Look, you're going to suspend our players for a penalty that was not a penalty on the ice, but. This team still comes back, fights back, and is able to right any wrongs. And now they're going on to the Eastern Conference Finals. On paper, this, like you said, this team is not a winner team. But here we are making history once again with the Ovechkin era. So this might be the narrative of this team. When they make the DVD or the Blu-ray or the digital, I don't know what you call them anymore, the story of the Stanley Cup champion teams – it might be, the Rocky Balboa story. It might be the underdog story.
Yeah, you know what? Not yet.
Yeah, I know.
It's not yet.
All right, so you keep bringing that up. So let me ask you this.
It's literally the reality.
I know, but still, it's beating the Penguins, so it feels pretty good. I remember a couple years ago, Montreal finally beat Boston in the second round. And, PK Subban is doing an interview after the game, and he kisses whoever the interviewee or interviewer is and screams, "We did it. We finally did it." And then I believe the Montreal Canadiens then lost in the Eastern Conference Finals and lost pretty poorly. And they kind of were like, wow, they kind of beat Boston and forgot to play the rest of the games. What do the Caps have to do to make sure they don't do the same thing?
They need to calm down. To be honest, I think that's the biggest thing, is to calm and realize that they're only halfway there. Like, if that was the win to get them into the Stanley Cup Finals, that's one thing. Because you're like, all right, we got to win four more. Not only do they have to win four more, but now they got to win four more after that to get to their ultimate goal. So I think, you know, it's a situation where you get to celebrate that night, and you move on. The next day, doesn't matter anymore, because now you got to worry about Tampa. You got to move on to the next round. You got to focus on what they're going to present to you. It's a different team. It's a better team, I think, than the Penguins. And statistically, during the regular season, we saw that. I think Tampa is going to be a tough one to get through. They've got some, you know, obviously some very good players. They've got a good coach. They've got a good front office. They know what they're doing. They were at the same point last season where they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals, and they're not going to want to get knocked out again. So it's every round you get by, it just gets that much more difficult. So the Caps are going to have to step up again to do it. I think the first, I'll say the first 10 minutes or so is going to be, they're going to have to withstand a bit of an onslaught, and they're going to have to be able to keep their emotions in check. I think game one is going to be a bit difficult, because they're going to have to make sure that they're controlling themselves a bit more. There's going to be a lot of excitement going on with the players. This is all more or less brand new for them. Just because they haven't been this far in the playoffs before.
We were listening to an NHL Tonight video talking about the Eastern Conference Finals, and the Tampa Bay had a number like 278 Eastern Conference Final games played on that team. Like in the history of the team, the players there have a combined total of like over 200 of those Eastern Conference games. The Caps have 28.
That's not good. No. Well, it's the thing that Ryan Drew and I were actually talking about on Twitter a while back, that the Caps don't have necessarily that experience amongst the veterans, and that's all the veterans, not just the core veterans, that have been this far in the playoffs before. So a lot of it's going to be new. And to some extent, that's definitely a negative, but then to some extent, it's actually a positive, because if you have gotten that far and consistently can't get over that hump, we've seen with the Capitals team, it becomes a bit of a mind block. So maybe Tampa, I don't think this is going to be the case, but there's a possibility that Tampa will have a little bit of a mind block going into the next round. So we'll see what their first 10 minutes are like. And as you know, they start to settle into their game plan, how things move going forward. You know, the Capitals are not only the underdog in this series, and you know, to some extent you say they were the last one, but they also don't have home ice advantage. But that hasn't really mattered, because the Caps won, what, two of their four wins were in Pittsburgh in the last round. And I can't remember how many they won in Columbus. Well, they won both in Columbus.
They won everything in Columbus.
They won everything in Columbus. So, you know, it's not necessarily the worst thing in the world for the Capitals to be on the road.
No, they seem to enjoy shutting up the opposing team's audience.
Yeah.
That crowd, if they can take the crowd out of it, they do pretty well on the road.
It's it's gonna be tough. You know, Tampa was able to go out and defeat Boston pretty relatively easily. I mean, 4-1, they were able to get past New Jersey 4-1. So they haven't been playing quite. I mean, they're playing what, two less games than the Capitals have, but you know, it's gonna be a tough one.
Mm-hmm. So you said we're halfway there. Are the Caps living on a prayer?
No, don't start. I already told you I'm gonna hang up this. What is this? Google Hangout. I'll do it. Don't tempt me.
Anything else we should talk about before we move on from the Caps-Penguins series, before we really dive deep into the Tampa Bay game?
No, I think that's it. I mean, it's great, but it's time to move on.
All right. Well, here we are. It's been 20 years since the Capitals have made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. It's the first time for Alexander Ovechkin to get this far. It's up against the Tampa Bay Lightning, who have been in the Eastern Conference Finals many, many more times than the Capitals, which we just talked about. But making his return to the ice is Tom Wilson. His suspension is officially over. And with the way that Tampa Bay played against Boston, being such a hard-hitting team against a hard-hitting team, couldn't get Tom Wilson back soon enough. This seems like it's the type of hockey made for a guy like Tom Wilson. What kind of difference maker is Tom Wilson going to be for the Capitals in this round?
Well, he obviously brings a bit of physicality to his game. I think he's got a little bit more experience on the top line at this point than some of the other guys, though not by much. I think he brings more familiarity with Kuznetsov or Backstrom and Ovechkin. And I think he brings a bit more, and this could be a positive or a negative, but notoriety. He's more well known amongst other teams. So if you're trying to bring the puck up the ice and Wilson's coming over like he's going to body check you, you're going to maybe stiffen up a little bit more than say if Jakub Vrána or Chandler Stephenson's coming to hit you. So it causes you to change your game plan a little bit if you're Tampa. I don't think dramatically, but it definitely does a little bit. So I do feel like having him back is definitely a good thing, but it's going to be interesting because he's got to behave himself. Like, you already got a 3-game suspension. You can't go around and try and annihilate every Tampa Bay player that you see.
That was going to be my next.
You can't put yourself in stupid situations.
Right. That was going to be my next question to you is, coming back from this suspension, how is Tom Wilson's game going to be affected by that suspension? Is he going to come out and just be the same guy, the same player that he was before the suspension? Do you think like he?
I think for the most part.
Is he going to come out and be a little trepidatious about laying in a big hit?
I think he'll still lay a big hit, but I think he'll pick his spots a little bit more. You know, I think that he's more likely, if a guy is along the boards or coming around, that he may go for more of the not the straight up like big hit, but just kind of like a generic body check and knock him off the puck. I think he's got to start playing the game a bit smarter. You know, you can't always go for the big hit. Sometimes those can rile a team up if you're down or if you're getting into a bit of a lull in the game and you want to wake the guys up a bit. You go and you lay out a big hit or you get a fight or you do something to get the guys woken up. But he's going to have to be a lot smarter about it because now the NHL is going to be watching. Because not only is he a repeat offender, now he's a multiple repeat offender or some stupid saying that they probably have. So, you know, he's got to behave himself because I have to imagine if he does something stupid like that again, he's probably going to get more than just 3 games. We may not see him for the rest of the playoffs or the beginning of next season.
I don't think you or I or really anybody realized how much of an impact Tom Wilson has on the Caps game. Like, we talked about it. We talked about how he has to do more than just hit people. He has to be a goal scorer.
He's big and scary.
Right, but look at, after that suspension when he was not in the lineup, the Penguins were a different team. They weren't scared to try and kind of muscle their way through a little bit. He actually does change the momentum of a game. He really does. Whether it be the other team being intimidated or whether it be him riling up his own team, I don't think you, I, or anyone else realized how much Tom Wilson means to these guys.
He's an outstanding player, obviously, and I think that the biggest thing for him is not only to continue to work on his offensive game, but then to just behave himself.
Of course, I mean that's a good thing to do, because you got to be there. You got to be there for your team. That's also important.
That would be helpful. Yeah.
So Nick Backstrom and Andrei Burakovsky, they are both question marks. Burakovsky is day-to-day, but they are saying he is flying to Tampa. So who knows? He probably just wants to go to the warm weather down there, if anything. But we saw Nick Backstrom, his hand was bandaged up for Game 6. They're not really saying like what's going on with his hand. Is if there's some broken bones, if it's a bruise, we don't know. Of course, we all know this team is a better team with Nick Backstrom on the ice. But what do the Caps do going up against a team like Tampa that is very strong defensively, potentially without Nick Backstrom? What do they have to do to overcompensate without him there?
Well, Eller's going to have to step up again. You're going to have to see whoever's centering the third line step up in trying to shut down their top offensive players. And you're going to have to see more. I think it's going to help. You know, it spreads out the offense a little bit with Wilson back in. So you potentially moving a guy like Vrána back to the third or fourth line to potentially spread it out. Though Vrana, when he was on the fourth line and Stevenson was on the first, you weren't seeing quite as much from him. So it's going to be interesting where they decide to put Vrana, especially after how well he's sort of stepped up. I know there's some question marks. People are asking questions as to whether Vrana should really lose his first or second line spot, which I think is a fair question. I mean, if you bring back, maybe Vrana ends up on the second line with Backstrom and or Eller and Oshie again, and Stevenson gets bumped down to the third or fourth line at that point. But, I think it's with you go to a team that's definitely got better defense. You're going to have to step up your offense. You're going to have to create more traffic in front of the goal. You got to make it harder for him to see. I feel like there was too many times where it was easy for Matt Murray to see the puck. You know, he couldn't catch it glove side high because that was where they're getting a lot of their goals. And they need to find out what this goaltender's weakness is because this guy is real good.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about the Tampa Bay goalie because I'm going to be honest. I don't know a ton about the guy.
I believe he's Russian.
So him and Ovi are friends.
And he's good. I'm looking it up. Isn't he one of the finalists for the – I want to see he's the finalist for the Vezina.
Oh, no. Really?
Hold on. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean he can't be beat. I mean, the year Holpe won, it wasn't like the Caps won the Cup. You know? Hang on. So, yeah, Vasilevsky. Got a lot of letters in his name. Let me tell you, man. No. He's an incredible goalie. He's very good. He's 23, so Jesus Christ. He led the league in wins. He led the league in shutouts. He had a 2.35 GAA and a 927 save percentage. So dude's good. He's not bad. You got to get in his head a little bit. You got to make life difficult for him. I'm not saying you got to injure the guy, but you could definitely, rough him up a little bit. Not too much, but you got to make life difficult for him. You can't be letting him see every puck that's coming his way. You get in his head a little bit by getting in front of him, making life difficult for him. You bump him a little bit here and there. No slashing, no dick moves like that, but you just make life a little bit more difficult for him in the crease.
All right. Well, I mean, that's one thing we can do, but is this guy really that good of a goalie, or does he just have a better defense than Braden Holtby does in standing in front of him?
Well, I feel like every goalie has to give his defense some credit. Depending on that defense, they may get more than others, but they definitely should have some credit for what's going on around them because it's never just the goaltender. I mean, well, that can be sometimes, I guess. But, the defense always plays a part because it's not like the goalie's out there stopping them at, center ice. So, but a good goaltender, as we see with like Jonathan Quick in LA, when they were winning their cups, can make a big difference.
Oh, 100%. Absolutely, 100%. So let's talk a little bit more about the Tampa Bay defense. We were listening again to the NHL Tonight talk about that defense and how there's a lot of New York Rangers and how they are pretty familiar with Alex Ovechkin, more so than a lot of Tampa Bay guys. This defense looks pretty scary. What do the Caps have to do to make sure that they can get past this defense and they're not taken down by them?
I think the biggest thing is just take it to him is kind of a stupid way to put it, but they obviously have very good players and you're going to have to play. You have to up your game. You got to make it life harder for them. You got to keep them moving, try and put them into difficult situations. A lot of forechecking to sort of take them off their game in their own zone and keeping the puck down as best you can, keep moving around. Try and find gaps where you can. I think the familiarity thing with a lot of the guys that they have, it's the thing you're listening to is calling them the Tampa Bay Rangers or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, they definitely have, they have Ryan Callahan, Dan Girardi.
They have Callahan. That's right.
Ryan McDonough's down there. I think JT Miller played for the Rangers at one point.
Not TJ Miller.
No, TJ Miller's.
He's in Deadpool.
He's doing other stupid things apparently around the world.
Yeah.
But you have a team that, yes, they know Ovechkin, but they haven't played him in a while now. And it's a different team. So making that comparison, yes, it helps to some extent, but it's not necessarily a make or break kind of thing because Ovechkin's game has changed somewhat. Yes, he still scores a lot from the OV spot. Yes, he still tries to hit everybody. And yeah, he's still really good. But he's got a lot of other really good players around him. So if you just try and play him the same way you've played him before, he's just going to feed the puck, as we saw the other night, to a guy like Kuznetsov. And it's not like he's necessarily dominating the score sheet, that being Ovechkin, versus the rest of the Caps. And Ovechkin has 8 goals and 7 assists for 15 points. Kuznetsov's got 14 points at 7-7. Backstrom's got 3-10 at 13. Carlson's got 3-8. Oshie's got 5-3. So it's not like he's the only guy producing. Not only do you have to shut down Ovechkin, you also have to shut down Kuznetsov. Then you got to find a way to stop Nick Backstrom. You got to find a way to stop Oshie, who's kind of hit or miss every once in a while. Eller's stepping up. Wilson's coming back. Wilson had 7-9, which is pretty good for him. And then Vrana's got two. He's got 5 points in 11 games. So that's not bad either. So they're going to have to find a way, you know, for the other guys to step up if they start shutting down Ovechkin. The other players have to help out. And if that's the case, I see we'll start. The team's going to start, you know, have a good chance there.
Yeah, I like the fact that the NHL Live people said, you know, Ovi's a talent, but you got to watch out for Ovi's playmakers along with him, because they're the ones setting him up. They're the ones that are going to be working with him, trying to get him the puck to that Ovi spot. So Ovi's got some great players along there with him. So it's not just Ovi anymore. It's not just him you got to worry about. So that's, I think, going to be really good against Tampa. Now, when the Caps and the Tampa Bay Lightning faced off 3 times this past regular season, they went 1-1-1.
Well, we can't read anything into that, I guess.
So with a record like that, what does it mean going into the postseason? Like we say, regular season, postseason are very different types of hockey. What do the Caps have to do to make sure that they don't go 1-1-1 in the postseason?
Well, you can't.
Exactly. Do that. We know that.
Well, that's easy. You just can't. So problem solved. Next question. I think it's a different season now, and you can't necessarily play the same way. I think obviously both teams will be watching footage of their prior series, and you know, they'll see where they go from there in terms of how they're going to play them. But I don't think the Capitals will have to adjust their game plan too much. But obviously you have to make adjustments throughout a series, and it's going to come down as to whether Trotz can be able to make the adjustments like he did so well in the series against Pittsburgh.
Boy. What else is there to talk about the Tampa Bay Lightning?
They have a stupid logo.
It's stupid.
Not a superhero. Bunch of dorks.
Anything else we should cover in Caps World?
Yeah, we got a little bit of news. Hey, if you're going to be in Rosslyn, Virginia on Friday, go ahead and check out Gateway Park. The Caps are they're hosting, actually, a viewing party for game one on Friday at 8 p.m. I will not be out there because I don't know where Gateway Park is. I mean, I could Google it, but I'm not driving to Virginia on Friday night. That sounds exhausting.
Yeah, that's the only reason I won't be there, because I absolutely love this idea. I wish the Caps did this more. I wish they did more up in Baltimore, because I have a giant blow-up screen myself, and I have speakers and everything like that. So technically I could show it for my neighborhood.
Sounds like Brandon's hosting a viewing party, folks.
But it's not that hard. I wish they would do it up in Baltimore, because watching sports or movies or whatever outside is some of the most fun you can ever have. I mean, you can go to a movie theater, see an IMAX movie, or you can go to a drive-in.
How is that not going to annoy your neighbors, though? Like, you know, the game starts at 8. It's not going to be over. It's almost 11.
All right. Well, let me tell you about what happened. Okay. So I've had this screen for a couple years now. First time I broke that baby out, I had neighbors come to me the next day asking me about it. Both those neighbors bought their own screens.
No, but I mean, like,
they loved it. They thought it was the coolest thing in the world.
Fair enough.
The one guy, he blows it up and he sits on his back balcony and plays video games on it.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the point?
I don't know. It's been a while. But yeah, I don't video game at all.
So. Oh, Gears of War would be fun on that kind of thing.
Yeah, but I've hosted many movie marathons, many 4th of July movie marathons, where I show The Sandlot, Jaws, and what was the other one? And Independence Day, duh.
Nice.
Yeah.
The first one, not the crappy remake.
Oh my, how bad was that
watch it.
Oh, that is honestly, I paid to see that movie in the theater. That is
poorly done.
One of the worst movies I have ever seen in my entire life. Absolutely terrible.
Yeah. Other Caps news.
But yeah, do some more of that outside hockey stuff. That's really cool.
That would be cool. I'm a little surprised not to be more than just that one. Other Caps news. They signed 2 young guys today, announcing the signings of forward Matthias Bau, or is it Matthias? I don't know. Bau to a one-year, two-way deal starting next season. Bauer recorded 23 points in 58 games with Hershey last season. They also signed forward Maximilian Kammerer. I want this guy to make the roster because his first name is Maximilian. That's a cool name. They signed him to a three-year, two-way entry-level deal starting next season. Kammerer. That's the other fun part is you just call him Kammerer. He played last season with Dusseldorf in the German Hockey League. I'm going to Germany in November, Brandon. He scored 26 points in 51 games. So Caps got two more young guys. I think Bau is early to mid-20s. Cameron, I think, was 21. So I imagine both these guys will be at Caps developmental camp. Your favorite is thing in June and then – or July? July, right?
Yes.
When? Yeah, July. Early July. Brandon will be there.
Nope. I have to work.
Do we know when? We don't know when it's going to be yet.
It's usually
maybe they're putting it back on a Saturday like every normal.
It's after the draft, and then it's usually the week before my birthday. So it's usually like the FanFest is usually like July 17th or 16th or something like that. Because then I get a bunch of birthday gifts that were purchased from there. So I got this Aaron Volpatti stick that I have right here.
Oh my God, I haven't heard that name in a while. Aaron Volpatti.
Yep.
He was terrible. Anyways, yeah, that's Caps news.
All right. Well, it has been quite a wild ride. I am so happy that we don't have to wrap things up in this episode.
All right, so we're doing What the Puckies next week? Oh, wait, no, we're not.
That's right. And we got plenty more hockey to talk about. So we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back with a round. Don't shake your head at me.
You said a boot.
A boot, eh? I'm trying to fit in with my Canadian listeners out there.
Nope. Stop what you're doing.
All right, guys. That's it for this Caps World. We're going to go around the NHL. But before we do that, here's a word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the Puck? What the Puck? Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
Show. We are going around the NHL. It's not just the Caps beating the Penguins. There's plenty of other news going around, but the major headline is the Capitals beat the Penguins in the second round, but there's other stuff. So, Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL?
We have a little bit of NHL news as Carolina promoted Rod Brind'Amour to be their new head coach on Wednesday. Brind'Amour was the Hurricanes captain in 2006 when they won the Stanley Cup. Now, let's go around the Stanley Cup playoffs and see how everyone is doing. Brandon, your favorite team in the West? The Las Vegas Aces. Oh, wait, no, they didn't do that. The Vegas Golden Knights defeated San Jose 4-2.
They did.
I think we both had them winning that series.
Did you? I know I did.
I think I did. I don't remember how many games, though. I might have said 6, maybe 7. Anyways, and then Winnipeg and Nashville are tied at 3 games with Game 7 being tonight.
Is that the first Game 7 of this Stanley Cup playoffs?
No. Boston and Toronto.
That's right.
Wait, isn't the game tonight?
Yes.
No, it's tomorrow. I'm dumb.
I am too, because I agreed with you.
Oh, sorry, everyone. It's not tonight. It's tomorrow. So Game 7 for them is at 8 o'clock tomorrow night, NBCSN. And then Tampa Bay beat Boston in 5, and Brad Marchand continues to lick people like a freaking weirdo.
That's of all the offense you can do.
He's so weird.
That's not one I would go for first. Although, let me tell you.
Like, you're not injuring people. But that's how you spread diseases, Brad.
That's how
you shouldn't do that.
That's how you do that. But honestly, kind of brilliant.
I know this, okay?
You lick people?
No, no, weirdo.
You go on the Metro to go to a Caps game, and you're like, let me sit next to this guy. I'm going to lick him.
The last time I actually rode the Metro. I mean, I only went to one Caps game this year, and we drove down. I can't remember the last time I actually rode the Metro to a Caps game. No, I was going to say, because I'm a certified med tech, and so, like, I know some things about, and I'm first aid CPR certified, so I know some things about transference of fluid, and that licking people is you're not an effing dog. What is wrong with you? I saw a headline on NHL.com about how he knows he needs to change some things. No S, buddy. You don't lick people, you freaking weirdo.
All right, so I got a story to tell here. I used to do this radio show called
This can't go well.
I used to do this radio show called Dead Air Radio, and we were on for a long time, like 7 years. And one of the other hosts, Dominic the Italian Christmas Donkey, he grabbed me by the neck because I always tried to make him crack. Like, I would always, like, make fun of him or be like a bully almost to him in the most loving way. But I would always kind of, like, give him crap, trying to, like, just get him angry on air. And he pulled me by the neck once and was, like, choking me out almost. And he had his hand, like, around my face, and I licked the inside of his hand. And he was like, "Oh, my God, what are you doing? He just licked me." And I'm like, Yeah, I did. Don't touch me anymore, man. And I'm not cool with that. So Brad Marchand was doing the exact same thing.
Marchand is just an effing weirdo.
He just was licking people because, they're not thinking about hockey anymore. They're thinking, that dude just licked me.
Yeah, but no, because that's gross.
It is gross.
You don't lick people, okay? What the hell is wrong with him?
And me.
It's a big no-no. All right, so Brandon.
Yeah.
Let's say it's Vegas and Nashville. Who's moving on?
Vegas, no doubt.
I think Vegas is going all the way to the Cup final.
100% I am, yeah.
Okay. How many games?
If it's Vegas and Nashville?
Correct.
Six.
Okay. Vegas is 8-2 in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, they didn't taste a loss until the second round.
Yeah.
Insane. I mean,
that's pretty nuts. If it's Vegas and – well, first of all, who do you think is going between Nashville and Winnipeg? We're coming back to there.
Where are they playing tomorrow? Is it in the Peg?
Oh, my God. Dogs, no play fighting. Oh, my God. I want to say it's in Winnipeg, but I'm totally playing. No, it shouldn't be in Nashville because – where is this game? Why is it not showing me? I don't know.
I think
– not play fighting dogs.
I think it's in Nashville.
Know. Yeah, I want to say it's in Nashville.
Then I think Nashville will win. If it was in Winnipeg, I feel as if Winnipeg would win the series. I really think that the home crowd has been a huge factor in this series. So,
dude, Winnipeg's whiteout looks pretty cool.
I want to go.
Caps used to do that.
That looks like a blast.
Back when they wore, the home teams wore white, the Caps used to always have a whiteout in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I went in the mid to late 90s and saw them. They went up 2-0 on the Penguins and then lost 4 straight.
So I think Nashville's going to win that series.
All right. So you think it's Nashville and Vegas and then Vegas moves on?
Yep.
I think Nashville wins the series. I think Nashville defeats Vegas in 7 games.
Oh, so, okay. All right. I think you're wrong.
That would be my guess.
But
okay. Well, enjoy it.
Vegas has got I found out a stat today from a guy at work. You know they sell out their practices?
Are they selling practices?
It's still free, but like at Kettler,
like skating room only
Yeah.
I've been to a couple where I was like, I can't see anything.
But not like a regular, like everyday practice, like a fan fest, sure. But like these guys are just practicing, just to practice, and they're selling out. There's no seats for the crowd.
What do they have? Like only 5 seats available?
I don't know what they have. I'm sure it's very nice.
Yeah, it probably is real nice. It's Vegas. No, you know what? We'll see if it continues. As whether it's just kind of like a fad right now out there, but
let's see what happens when the Raiders get to Vegas.
That's true, because the early part of the season is going to be happening at the same time.
Yeah,
and then I feel like there's talk of someone else going out there. Isn't like the NBA or someone else talking about it?
I don't know.
I feel like I saw something recently about another team.
Soccer?
Another... No, they have a team, but they're in like the second or third tier. I can't remember. Either way. But yeah, that's the news from the past week in the NHL.
Whew. So you're not going to say Tampa?
Nope.
Caps? You're not going to talk about that?
Nope, nope, nope.
All right. I won't force you.
Are you? Oh, crap.
I guess I'm going to play your game and I won't say, but
nope.
I have all the faith in the world that the Caps can get this done and move on. That's all I'll say.
Nope.
I'll leave it to that.
Nope.
They've cut.
It's the title of tonight's episode. Nope.
Nope. All right. So to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, all you got to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals related things, especially now that they're still playing. I tend to go a little quiet in the summer since they're not playing anymore, but I guess I'll keep going. So talking cap stuff, Arsenal Football Club, and who the next manager might be. The win and the celebration of Arsene Wenger was fantastic this past Sunday. His final game is this Sunday as manager of Arsenal. It's the end of 22 years where he has managed that club. It's fantastic. Anyways, you can also find me talking about all sorts of other things. Still trying to learn more about the Bills since I'm done with the Skins and all their douchiness. I don't know who's worse, Brad Marchand or the Skins, in terms of being douches. And I'm not talking about the players. I mean, Marchand's a player. I'm talking about the front office and the people that run that place, or just the two, really. Snyder and the other idiot, Bruce Allen. He's a douche. Anyways, somehow that was find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But hey, if you like the show and you like the things we're talking about when we actually stay on topic, why don't you go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. We put up new shows and information about that on there, as well as all sorts of other fun and interesting things about the Washington Capitals and What the Puck. Brandon likes to change the cover photo for the program pretty much hourly at this point. I'm getting updates on my phone throughout the day that Brandon has found a new picture that he wants to use.
I like pictures. So go ahead.
He does like photos, folks. He doesn't actually do any work during the day. He just stares at Google. But hey, if you enjoyed staring at Google, go ahead and check out facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, seeing as how we have a few more moments here, why don't you go ahead and tell the folks about Brando Cash Entertainment?
I will do that, but I got a question out there for everybody. Would you guys enjoy it if we did some Facebook Live videos? Tweet us, Facebook us, let us know with the Eastern Conference Final games coming up. Would you guys like us to do maybe like one or two Facebook Live like pre-shows or post-shows or something? Because we are thinking about that. If there's a demand for it, then we might try it out and see how it goes. But I didn't tell Dan that. But I don't know. Could be kind of fun doing a Facebook Live video.
But yeah, why not?
We'll check it out. So check out everything else about the show and all the other podcasts we do at Brando Cash Entertainment at BrandoCash.com. All the information you're ever going to need is right there on that website. Now we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an iTunes Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I'm ready for the Eastern Conference Final. You should, you know who else is ready for the Eastern Conference Final? Baltimore Oriole fans, because, man, they got nothing to watch. That team is terrible right now. So it was really funny to see the Pittsburgh Penguins lose. And then my entire Facebook timeline turned into Caps fans. It was really funny to see, like, oh, this person actually is going to like the Washington Capitals Facebook page now. And now they know everything about the team. And tell me about it. But anyway, tell all your friends that are bandwagon fans, welcome to the bandwagon. Caps do rule. Enjoy yourself here. Listen to What the Puck. Get up to speed so you're not just speaking gibberish when you watch the games. All right, so let's go over the schedule until we talk again. On Friday, May 11th, the Capitals play in Tampa Bay against the Lightning. That game is at 8 o'clock, and you can watch that on NBC Sports. Then on May 13th, Sunday, Mother's Day, the Caps are going to give all of our moms a win, beating the Tampa Bay Lightning in Tampa Bay at 8 o'clock on NBC Sports. Wouldn't that be a great Mother's Day gift? Congratulations. Here's a win. I love it. You don't have to buy your mom anything then. That's how much faith you should have in this team. That's what I'm saying. And then game three against Tampa Bay will be back in D.C. That game is at 8 o'clock and is going to be on NBC Sports. And then we'll be back doing another show three games into the series. So hopefully we got some wins to talk about then. But man, the Capitals finally in the Eastern Conference Finals. I am so happy to say those words. God, this has been an up-down crazy season, but boy, this is some fun. So I'm glad you guys are sticking with us. To any new fans out there, thank you so much for downloading the show. We really do appreciate it. If you are going out to watch any of these games, just remember, it is hockey, it is a game, and don't fight with people over it. Don't use... Don't lick people. I heard some pretty nasty things at the bar I was at on Saturday, and it kind of made me sick. I really hated it. I was tweeting Ryan and Dan about this guy who just kept getting like drunker and drunker. He was rooting for the Penguins. Then he wasn't rooting for the Capitals. And as the Caps are winning, he just gets loud and goes, "Hey, I just want you guys to know it ain't your year. Go Flyers." And I'm like, they're not even playing.
Yeah, they're out, buddy.
And thank God you're here to tell us it's not their year, because it's obvious that you are a hockey connoisseur, sir. Thank you for your opinion. He just got so mad that he wasn't the center of the room, but he got drunker and drunker, and then came out some of very homophobic slurs. So don't do that. Don't use homophobic slurs. Don't use racial slurs. Nothing like that. This is a game. Have fun with it. Don't, you know, you don't have to do anything like that. Just have fun. It's entertainment, folks. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Man, it is good to say Caps in the Eastern Conference Finals. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.